99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, friends. Welcome back, FM News Talk Time. It's 10:06. I'm John Potter, here every Saturday, 9 to noon. A lot of fun to come. Half hour of politics on the way, and a half hour talking about the fun at the county Lyon County Fair. So, yes, fun, except for this part. Isn't it terrible how the news will cover something very well for 2 days, and then, like a squirrel's attention span, just drops the subject and moves on to something else, and you kind of wonder, is that a huge disaster in the Pacific Northwest? Is that still going on? Yes, the fires in the Pacific Northwest is a heartbreaking deal, is what it is there. And, well, here's the very latest. You haven't heard for a few days, but they have this complex of 3 fires near Spokane, the eastern portion of Washington. It scorched more than 10,000 acres of land. Now they're worried about the weather today because they made a lot of progress, but the weather today there will, they fear, undo that. So they've lost hundreds of homes and structures since it ignited. I think it was this complex of fires the Saturday before, like a week old. There are a lot of wildfires in the West, and there are many folks who are dealing with those now. Much of the Western United States is getting sporadic bits of wildfire smoke. We've received the haze here this week. We still are. And worse is the terrible destruction as the forests burn down. That is a heartbreak, but it's a part of nature, and nature in time will rebound just fine. But we're in a situation now in Washington state where communities are burning down. 700 buildings is what I heard, including homes. A lot of them have been lost around Spokane, Washington's second largest city. The fires have not hit city proper. A bunch of suburban communities have been hit, some of them devastatingly. Some 60,000 people have been evacuated up there, and there's been an arrest. One of the fires, allegedly started by an arsonist, turns out to be an ex-con. But the governor of Washington this week, he just ranted and raved about climate change. But, you know, you throw in an arsonist with a little bit of climate change, I guess you have a calamity like this. I just want to point out that the Palisades fire in California, that was initially started by an arsonist. That fire was not properly extinguished, but hundreds and hundreds of homes were lost from a fire that initially started with an arsonist in California. And now this second one up by Spokane empowers very small, very evil people to do a staggering amount of damage. No doubt about that. And we have had our challenges with fires and the smoke. I can't believe how lucky we've been in the past 2 years in this area with summer fires. But it's been a hot, dry summer thus far. And, you know, forests, they burn. Our attitude has changed over the years. We used to put out every single fire we could. And the goal now is we'll control the fires the best we can, but some of them we're going to let burn, which is actually not a bad policy. It's a good one. And you add the fact that it has been a little bit drier, a little bit warmer, and you're going to have fires, but they really hit our American West. And it is a definite devastation, if not here, elsewhere, every single summer. I dread it. God bless those people. And when we are getting the smoke from California, it's a pain. But the reality is we're blessed to live on a continent which has significant forestation. There are a lot of trees in the American West, trees that are incredibly beneficial to the environment. They are beautiful. They provide us with shade and natural resources, wood and such. But in the cycles, in the processes of nature, fire is a part of it. You know, Smokey the Bear isn't always right. There are whole species of birds and trees and insects that flourish only in the wake of wildfire. And, you know, I'm not saying, oh, fire's our friend, but fires are much a part of nature as anything else. And we are also in a period where the fluctuations of weather and also the changing of climate can make some areas drier and warmer, and that contributes to the potential for fire, and that's a big factor in the West. But at any rate, in the summer, the woods burn, at least some of them, and God bless those folks out there fighting against this. Keep them in your prayers. The bizarre local story of the week is the ice at the Reno airport story. So here's what happened. Somebody saw somebody who they believed was an ICE agent at the Reno airport, or maybe outside the airport, and they freaked out, and they went on social media. Subsequently, they posted on Facebook, very alarmed that an ICE officer walked inside the airport, and then they or somebody else called up their buddy at Channel 2 and said, hey, you know, there's an ICE agent at the airport. And Channel 2 said, we'll investigate this horrific occurrence right away. That may not be verbatim. And so Channel 2 went on the air with it, and they posted this last Tuesday. You can see it on their website. The headline is, ICE active at Reno Tahoe International Airport. And the article reads, the Reno Tahoe International Airport has confirmed that Immigration and Customs Enforcement has been active there. They couldn't provide any more specific details. 2 News Nevada has reached out to the Department of Homeland Security to find out more about their activity in town, but have not heard back yet. Well, they posted this last Tuesday, and in true TV news fashion, there was no follow-up. They either realized what a regrettable, panic-inducing, quote, article, unquote, it is, or they lost interest, or they didn't bother to call Homeland Security back. I don't know. This was Channel 2. Channel 8 did not post this. But can I ask, why wouldn't ICE be at the airport? Why would ICE not be at the airport? Uniformed officers are always active on the job. The airport has a lot of uniformed security and security cars driving around. There are lots of TSA agents at the airport. Aren't TSA agents also working in the Department of Homeland Security? Why, yes, the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, is an agency of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, just like ICE. So why is Channel 2 ringing the alarm bells about ICE agents at the airport? I don't know. But this post and probably being on the news caused some concern and upset from people. And, you know, I appreciate that concern. We all have our different perspectives. And, you know, I certainly respect yours. And we've all lived our own lives, I guess, but I find myself mystified that the enforcement of federal law is so vilified and so frightening to people. I am disgusted by politicians and the biased media who have both whipped up such antipathy toward federal law enforcement officers and such fear in people. To turn the people of a community against the officers of government when in truth they are there to safeguard the public at airports too just strikes me as somewhere between unpatriotic and almost insurrectionist, if you will. Airports are high security. One reason terrorists who are non-citizens have used airports to get around citizens of the United States of America. Citizens really have no concern or dealings with immigration officials of any sort. If you're not a citizen and you don't have a valid passport, my thought would be that if you fear being subject possibly to arrest by immigration officials, I think that problem is with you, not with them. It is you who are facilitating this breaking of federal law. And here's the deal, friends. We're Americans, and we don't have to like the law. You know, in fact, from the founding of our republic, with the ratification of the Constitution, you've always had people who disagreed with this law, that law, the other law, and we long since have figured out how you handle that if you are a citizen in a republic. If you don't like the law, you try to change it. But until it's changed, it is the law. And I'd politely like to say to the good people and the reporters alarming folks about ICE agents at the airport, as opposed to stirring panic and vilifying and demonizing federal law enforcement officers doing their job, well, report the real news, okay? I don't know what to say about that, but it's interesting that in 2020, the Democrats wanted us to hate local law enforcement officers. Now in 2026, they want us to hate the federal law enforcement officers. Is it to motivate this whole thing, to motivate their voter base to go to the polls? I'm not exactly sure, but as opposed to vilifying men and women who are merely, number one, doing their jobs, and number two, enforcing the laws of the United States, if the Reddit and Facebook posters and the news reporters or anybody else, if you don't like those laws, which is absolutely your prerogative and right, then you should march over to Catherine Cortez Masto's or Jackie Rosen's office or Mark Amadeus, and you should protest there, not against Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but against Nevada's congresswomen who are senator women who, by the way, have done nothing to change the laws that you say you don't like. I'm not saying our immigration laws are perfect. They quite obviously have for generations created problems, not solved them. They've screwed our country. They've screwed the wannabe immigrants. Everybody loses. And yet, it's in the political interest of the Democrat Party to vilify law enforcement officers, to scapegoat people, people who are serving our country and who are doing nothing other than enforcing laws that were passed by the body, to which Mark Amadeus, Catherine Cortez Masto, Jackie Rosen, wherever you live, whoever represents you, all that these officers are doing are enforcing laws that were passed by the Congress. The Congress, elected by the people, works on our behalf, speaks our voice for us. And if you don't like the law, okay, I understand that. That's your prerogative. You go talk to Senator Jackie. But vilifying and scapegoating and creating danger for federal law enforcement officers so that you might gain political advantage in a looming election with your base, or you think as a TV station you can join in on the bandwagon of bashing ICE agents for your ratings, is despicable. What if you worked for Immigration and Customs Enforcement or Homeland Security or any of those, Border Patrol, such like that? Just as a hypothetical, put yourself in the other guy's shoes. What would it be like to work for the federal government and to come under verbal attack and to have this seething hatred against you because of what you're doing for a living stoked against you? And we all know about doxing, and we all know that folks in law enforcement now have to be wary of folks tracking down online and posting literally not just a harassment threat, but potentially a violence threat to not just themselves off duty, but also to their families and their homes. What would it be like to be the son or daughter or the spouse of an ICE officer? What would it be like to watch the evening news and have them scare, warn people about your mom or dad at a public facility? That's what's happened here. What would it be like to hear your congresswoman condemning what your mom or dad does for a living? Or what would it be like to have your spouse, your sweetheart, on the evening news described as and depicted as like the stormtroopers of our day? What would that be like? And what's that do to the emotions of these people? And who are those people? What did they do? Well, they set out to have a career, to find a way to make a living. They were interested in law enforcement. They were able to secure appointment to an academy to become an officer of the federal government. And they, like every park ranger, every state trooper, every county deputy, every city or town cop. They set out to protect and to serve with unique missions. Enforcing the immigration laws passed by the people's representatives, those missions are for us, for the public good and our nation's security. And to have people goaded by the politicians and the press turn and spit in your face and antagonistically, angrily attack who you are, what you do, imagine how horrific that must be for these people. They're your neighbors, friends, family members, and fellow Americans, and they are doing a difficult and often thankless job that most people would never want to do. And we have a TV station alarming people that they're in the airport. I'll shut up now. I'm John Potter, live and local, 9 to noon. Are we having fun? I promise some good vibes are on the way. Anyway, we'll be back shortly. Phone number 884-9910. That's 775-884-9910. And that's also our text line, too. Always happy to hear from you. We're going to take a break. Back shortly. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1022.
Live streaming at 991FMTalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
That's us. FM News. FM News Talk time. It's coming up on 1026. Let's check the weather. All right, 87 degrees, our current temperature in Reno. Shooting for a high. National Weather Service says for the Reno Airport, 101. Reno proper, 100 degrees today. Record high for the day is, let me get those. I know you're so excited when I read weather stats, but it's, where did I put them? It's a favorite topic of mine to go through the National Weather Service Reno office information. I do it every morning, and I try to talk to people about this stuff. Nobody else is interested in this like I am, but I'm going to bore you with it. We have the extreme heat warning now in effect. It goes from now to Monday. They say Monday, 8 a.m. it ends. Isn't that odd that the extreme heat warning ends in the morning? I have to ask those guys about that. It's not like overnight we're worried about it. But anyway, it's on in effect from now to Monday for Fernley, Fallon, Silver Springs, and Dayton, with a heat advisory for Reno, Sparks, Carson City, the rest of us, you know. It hit 103 in Reno yesterday. Weather Service predicts 101 for today, the Reno record high for this date, 103 set in 1972. Oh, that was a good year. So with 101 expected today, we probably won't break today's 1972 record, just like we couldn't top yesterday's record high of 105 set in 1983. Isn't this exciting? Two fires in Reno, 20 minutes apart last night. The Wildland Fire is in West Reno, the first one, due west of Collin Ranch. It's called the Hunter Fire because it started last night, right above the Hunter Lake Trail. What a great trail that is. Fire crews were called in a little after 6:30 p.m. They did a fire retardant drop on it soon after. It was last measured a little after midnight at about 2.5 acres. I think they put a cap on it. I'll have to update on that. I haven't seen an announced cause yet, but I did hear from somebody I know who saw the lightning strike. So it looks like lightning caused that one. And like I mentioned earlier, it's in the same spot where we had the Hunter Lake Fire, 2014, 700 acres burned back then. We are really lucking out this year, aren't we? Man, these crews are just on these things and taking care of them. The second fire in Reno last night burned 70 acres in the Northwest Hills at the end of Rob Drive, the very end of Rob Drive. You ever been there? Northeast of Somerset. Very difficult terrain to fight the fire, but they did. And it's out. Kudos to the crew. Authorities said accidental shooting is what they said was the cause. Okay. And the Gann Fire west of Sonoma, that's been bringing in the haze into town this week. 47% contained, still ways to go. We had another power outage in Washoe County last night. 2,900 customers without power just before 8 p.m. And yeah, I'm worried about these, aren't you? Too many. Let's see how the outages stand at this moment as I'm on the NV Energy site. Come on. All right, Douglas County, 832 people at this moment are without power. Okay, Washoe County, 805 customers are without power right now. All right, I wish they'd tell us what caused these things, you know. It's one of those things we might not ever know. We're going to break for Fox News and local news with Greg Neft, and then we're going to get excited about the Lyon County Fair, which starts this coming Thursday, goes to the Sunday after the tomorrow. So a lot of other stuff, too. So stick with me. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talkback. Shortly, FM News Talk time, 10:30.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk Station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hey, John. Once again, thanks for being the voice of reason. It's exactly what I thought. Why would ICE not be at the airport? Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. I'm John Potter, live and local, FM News Talk time, 10:35. Let's go to the phone because this is Stephanie Moxley. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey there. How are you today, John?
Good. We're going to be talking about the Lyon County Fair is coming up, a most awesome county fair. It starts this coming Thursday, and it goes through Sunday the 16th. Do you have it all together for the fair, for the opening on Thursday?
We do, and you are correct. It is coming up next week, very, very quickly. So Lyon County Fair and Rodeo, along with the Silver State Livestock Show, together will be Thursday through Sunday at the Lyon County Fairgrounds here in Yerington. That's at 100 Highway 95 East. We do have most of it put together. Luckily, we have a big team of board members along with all of our families that we rope into helping us, a massive amount of volunteers and friends. So we actually have the rest of the board down there working today to clean up the fairgrounds and get everything set up in preparation. So cool. And we're getting really excited.
When people ask you, why should we go to the Lyon County Fair? What do you tell them? You've been, I guess you've been to a few, although you're kind of new to Yerington, but what do you like about county fairs, especially this one?
Yes, I am new. This will be my third Lyon County Fair, as we are newer to the Yerington area. It's my third year helping, though. Well, most people, you know, think of fairs and they think of the typical like carnival rides, games, performances, vendors, fair food, of course. But what I like to remind people about is the roots of fair. So fairs have been around since like the early 1800s, and the basis or the origin of fair is really to showcase all of the local talent. So fairs are about competition. They're about showcasing our agriculture, our livestock, anything homemade or homegrown. That's a huge part of fair, and a lot of people forget about that. So I really like to encourage people when they come to the fair, not only go to the ticketed events and the live bands and all the fun competitions, but also go to our exhibition hall right there on the fairgrounds. Everything is currently being judged, so all of the entries will be placed and have their nice shiny ribbons on them in time for people to come look. But going to that exhibition hall is where you can see how much amazing talent is in our community. So we have all kinds of entries and divisions, arts and crafts, quilting, sewing, baking, canning. Mm-hmm. Just so much to see. So that's a big part that I like to tell people about our fair, is just to come support all the local talent and competition. And the other part of that is also our Silver State Youth Livestock Show is the same time as our fair. We run concurrently here on the fairgrounds. And that is another huge event that really deserves support. These kids work so hard and take such good care of their animals. I mean, these are the most spoiled animals that you'll ever meet, these show animals. So lots of livestock to come see. The youth livestock show will be going on all 4 days. It ends on Sunday with the buyer's lunch and the livestock auction. Mm-hmm. So you can come support. Anybody can come support by watching the show, volunteering, and then, of course, participating in the auction. If you're looking to buy a live animal or even to fill your freezer, right. It's a great opportunity to support the show and those kids. And we do even take phone bids if you're not able to travel to Urington on Sunday.
Now, you're talking about the animals that the kids, you know, have been taken care of and everything. This is one of those 4-H things where the animal that is well taken care of by the kids, those are the ones that are on the auction, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Gotcha. And what's really cool about our youth livestock show, it's a little bit different than most. This is the 14th year that they've put it on here in Urington and Lyon County. Mm-hmm. And what's awesome is we take exhibitors from all different clubs. So it's 4-H, it's FFA, Grange, Keystones, independent entries, and kids, of course, with their parents and supporters come from all the neighboring states. So it's not just Lyon County, it's not just Nevada, but we have kids from Utah, California, Idaho. It's really a very large production livestock show. It's very impressive.
I hate to say it, but one reason is because, you know, this is so cool that yours is so active and vibrant. When I sense that we're losing county fairs across the country, but not in farm areas, not in the Midwest, they're very big there. But we have some counties around here that don't do a county fair. But Lyon County is very strong. I got the schedule here. I have a few questions, Stephanie. Okay,
yeah,
opening day. This coming Thursday. Okay, I see kids' night, demonstrations, games, rodeo royalty photo ops. What's that?
Yes. So kids' night is Thursday the 13th. It starts in the evening around 5:30 or so. We're kind of revamping our kids' night this year. We're going to do it a little bit differently. We've brought in more demonstrations, more tables for the kids to walk around. The rodeo royalty photo ops, we're going to have a couple of local rodeo queens that are going to be coming to help us with kids' night this year. So kids can take pictures with the rodeo queens, and then they're going to be helping.
Can I? Me?
Oh, go ahead.
I wanted a picture with the rodeo queen, but anyway. Okay. Also, you have the BMX bike race that day, pedal tractor pulls. What is a pig scramble? You have pigs. Is that a dish?
No, just the opposite. That's actually my favorite event to watch of the whole night. So our rodeo queens will be helping us with the mutton busting, which is, of course, little kids riding sheep. And then the pig scramble comes right after. So pig scramble, we bring in lots of younger, like baby pigs, and kids can sign up of all different ages, and we do it in different age classes. And we release usually about 4 pigs into the pen at a time, and all the little kids get to run around and try and catch one. And if they catch one, they keep it, even if the parents don't want to.
Oh my gosh.
They get to take it home. So
I never heard of such a thing. All right.
It is so fun to watch, especially the really little kids. We get a kick out of watching them chase these pigs around.
Okay. Next day, Friday, the truck and tractor pull. You have 2 live bands playing on Friday.
We do. Yeah. So truck and tractor pull put on by L&L Productions is our main ticketed event. They start at 6:30. The gates open at 5:30. You can buy tickets there or ahead of time. And then after that, our 2 live bands, we have Greg Austin and Southern Justice on our main stage, 9 to midnight. They are awesome. They were here last year on Friday as well, and they were very, very talented. And then on our backstage, we have Tahoe Musicale. They also are very popular. I've yet to hear them, but it's always a party on that backstage. So I'm sure they're going to be great, and it's going to be a good time.
So you have more than one stage. Okay.
We have actually 3 different stages. And aside from these like highlighted events we're calling out, we have acts going on those stages all day long, juggling and dancers and comedians and magicians and all kinds of stuff happening on the stages through the whole weekend.
All right. So if people can, they're choosing their days out there. So next Saturday at the Lyon County Fair, you do a parade down Main Street to start the day off. Then the CCPRA Rodeo, then the Horseshoe and Cornhole Tournaments, the Demolition Derby, and two live bands, right?
Yep, that is correct. Saturday is our biggest day. So there is still room for entries in our Lyon County Fair Parade. If anybody wants additional info on that, they can go to lyon-county.org. Our theme for all of the fair this year is Stars, Stripes, and Summer Nights, which goes along well with our 250th anniversary of America. So after the parade down Main Street in Urington, then we head back to the fairgrounds for that rodeo that starts at noon. You'll also get to see the finalists from Mutton Bustin' on Kids Night from Thursday. We'll come back on Saturday.
Man,
and we will have our
together. That's incredible. All right. And the last day, Sunday, Youth Livestock Auction, Mud Volleyball Tournament. I guess it's played in mud, I assume. Motocross Barrel Racing. And by the way, all days of this county fair, folks, are the exhibition hall, the carnival, the shopping, the food booths, Silver State Youth Livestock Show. Are you going to have, when I'm thinking county fair, I think of deep-fried food madness, deep-fried food confusion.
Oh, yeah.
Oreos, pickles, many cowboy boots. I picture ring toss games, and I picture a tilt-a-whirl with a loudspeaker playing music from 1991. My old county fair in upstate New York, I'll never forget this because I participated in this when I was a kid. They had a paddle ball contest. You know, the paddle with the rubber ball attached to it with the elastic string.
Oh, my gosh, how fun.
And you bounce the ball on it, and people whack, 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 whack. And whoever's the last one paddle balling wins. And, yeah, put that.
How fun.
Your schedule's full anyway. Are you doing the cow sculpted from butter statue?
A butter statue?
Okay, that's a big thing in Iowa. How about
I'm like, that's a new one. We have yet to see that, but that would be a nice addition.
Okay. How about, do you have, the 100-pound pumpkin or something like that? The growers bring something that is unusual and amazing?
No, we don't have a 100-pound pumpkin, but there are a lot of oversized fruits and vegetables in those categories in our exhibition hall. So not sure about a 100-pound pumpkin, but there's definitely some comparable-sized zucchinis, I'm sure.
You know what? As an adult, sounds like we're all kids here, but as an adult, I loved my last county fair. I loved it. I got to touch all kinds of animals, but the best part was asking all kinds of questions of the people in the booths in the big exhibit hall. You know, they had a ton to share about everything, and I just learned so much, and what good vibes. Anyway, you're kind of new. You're from, let me see here, my notes, Bishop, California. So stay with me on the phone. I want to talk to you about the transition, Stephanie, that you've experienced coming from California to Yerington, and what are great things, not just in Yerington, but also in Bishop. And also, folks, if you have a question about the county fair in Lyon County, give us a call, 884-9910, and we'll touch on the fair again. Okay, can you hang on, Steph?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, super. Awesome. I'm John Potter, live and local. One more segment with Stephanie on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1048.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It's the weekend with John Potter.
I wish I lived in the golden age.
99.1 FM and in Lyon County, 92.3 FM News Talk.
Hello, friends. I'm John Potter. Welcome back. This short segment is called Stephanie Moxley. This is your life. Nobody knows that show. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. But anyway, Stephanie, who's helped out putting together the Lyon County Fair coming up on Thursday through Sunday, the 16th. Stephanie, you moved to Yerington from, is it from Reno and Bishop both?
Yes. So I grew up in Reno. My husband grew up in Chalfont Valley, just outside Bishop, California. He and I lived in Reno for quite a few years, but we ended up finding a small cattle ranch in Yerington that had two homes on it. So we sold our place in Reno, and my husband's parents sold their little ranch in Bishop, and we all merged together. So we absolutely love Yerington. My in-laws grew up in the Yerington area. Ah. We have lots of extended family here. So we knew this was the perfect place for us to land.
Wow, cattle ranching family, and you show horses. Who better to help put on a great county fair, I believe. What do you love about Yerington today?
Oh my gosh. Well, we decided we wanted to move out of Reno and into a smaller town after we had our first son. And Yerington was the perfect place. We cannot say enough great things about this city.
Yeah,
just the small
too.
Town atmosphere, how friendly everybody is, all of the great events that are put on down here. I mean, mm-hmm. It seems like every month they close down Main Street and have some kind of fun event downtown, and everyone is so welcoming. It's like a very warm community.
Folks, if you haven't been, Yerington, Mayberry Main Street, Deanie's is a fun coffee shop. It's preserved old Nevada inside. You have the Donald J. Trump Justice Center. You have a very fine radio station at 92.3. You have super low gas prices in Yerington, and you have very wonderful people, you know?
It is a great place to visit, and next week is the perfect time.
Yeah, well, also Bishop. I love Bishop. We'll go there for a getaway. We stay at the excellent Wayfinder. We have lunch at Schatz Roadhouse. We go to the Western Movie Museum down the road in Lone Pine, and then we come back for dinner on the deck at Whiskey River. I love Bishop. I love it.
We do, too. Yes. Yeah. And Mule Days, if you've ever been to Bishop during Mule Days, it is such a fun weekend to go visit there as well.
Well,
we love the small town feel of Bishop, just like Yerington.
Well, I really love how these little California towns on South 395 do keep the old feel. There's so many historic, wonderful old buildings, the old motels with the neon and everything like that. And it's a wonderful drive, especially Lone Pine. Oh, my gosh. It's like 1960s you're walking around in there. So Yerington, pretty much the same, but a great place to raise kids, of course, and cattle ranching and showing horses. You're doing it right, Stephanie Moxley. You are doing it right. All right. You have two more minutes, 90 seconds, final pitch to get people to go to the Lyon County Fair. Go, Stephanie.
All right. Lyon County Fair, again, starts next Thursday, August 13th through 16th. The 13th is Kids Night. Bring your kids. There's so much to do, so many free activities. Every other day, we're going to have activities throughout the entire day, food vendors, shopping, performances, ticketed events, just something for everybody. So, again, it's at the Lyon County Fairgrounds right here in Yerington at 100 Highway 95 East. And then don't forget about the Silver State Youth Livestock Show as well. You can get more information for that at ssyls.com or silverstateyouthlivestockshow.com. And then if you want to get more information or the full schedule for the whole fair, you can go to lyon-county.org. And you can also purchase tickets ahead of time for any of our ticketed events at aftontickets.com/Lyon County Fair. So I guarantee you'll have a good time and a great visit to Yerington.
Get yourself a deep fried pickle to eat while you're looking at the county's biggest pig.
Absolutely.
And, got to have ring toss games. That's a given. But juggling, acrobats on the stage, puppet shows, magicians, dancers, musicians, gunfighters on stage?
They use the ground right next to the stage, but they're a very, like, Old West Virginia city-style show, and they perform multiple times a day. Just a really fun attraction for you to watch in between all the other events that we're doing.
I'm not going to want to leave the cornhole games.
Yes, addictive. Cornhole and horseshoe tournaments on Saturday. Those are pretty popular as well. So get your entries in if you want to participate.
All right, Stephanie, thank you so much for spending time telling us about this and making us nostalgic for old Bishop and Yerington, too. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, John. I appreciate it.
All right, dear. Take care. Thank you.
You too.
Once again, bye-bye. Folks, it starts on Thursday, opening up the Lyon County Fair. And as Stephanie said, the big day is Saturday, starting off with a big parade down Main Street. So cool. So cool. You won't have to bring a ton of money either. Up next, the Douglas County Republican Central Committee. Politics galore, we're going to talk about, especially the midterm election. Question six, question seven, the governor's race. Mr. Flippo, David Flippo, running for Congressman Amadei's seat. And I am told, I'm going to ask these guys, I'm told Congressman Amadei has not spoken with David Flippo and has no plans to do so. So, yeah, he said on TV, no one's here to talk about. There's nothing for us to talk about, which is kind of unheard of in Nevada politics, you know, for a sitting Republican legacy congressman not to talk. Anyway, we'll get into it. Yeah. A little political soap opera coming up for you. We're going to break for Fox News. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I'm John Potter. Back shortly. FM News Talk time, 10:58.